The following content contains adult subject matter that may be disturbing or triggering for some listeners.
We understand that certain topics may not be suitable for everyone, and we encourage you to exercise discretion while listening. Thank you for tuning in.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Lara.
I'm Elizabeth.
And this is
Too Niche.
Today, we're talking about something that is a listener request that we haul. And when we heard this request idea, we were like, that's a genius haul. It's a dark haul.
It's the next up of the dark hauls.
But it also can be a light haul if you play your cards right.
Depends what music you're listening to.
So today we're hauling drugs. We're hauling illegal drugs. We're not trying them on the podcast, but we are going to share our ratings based on our individual experiences with the drugs that we're hauling. We're going to haul some new drugs that we've never even heard of and just give ratings and impressions based off of what the internet has told us. And yeah.
It's going to be an education.
Yeah, we're hauling drugs today.
Yep. How are we going to grade?
I think we just grade off of our impressions.
Like, should we factor in, like, would we try? Does it seem deathly? Like, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think, like, risk-reward is a good way to determine rating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think with drugs, it's also really personal because some people want to go up, up, up. Some people want to go down, down, down. Some people want to be, like, just hallucinating.
Yeah. Some people want to leave and come back.
It's hard to like set like a strict grading. And I don't like it when things get strict.
Right.
When things get too strict, it makes me want to do drugs. So I feel like we got to play it loose because I could run out this door at any second, head on over to I don't know where.
Well, if there's ever an episode where I guess it would be okay to partake while recording, it's this one, just saying. Mm-hmm. So if it does get strict, feel free to
bite
shoot
into
up.
That's a good segue into our first drug that we're going to haul today, and that's heroin.
A classic.
Okay, heroin's a tried and true classic drug. I think it's one we've all heard of. It's one that I would say I would trust that most of our audience has not tried heroin, but I would love to know what percentage of the audience has tried versus not tried. I haven't tried heroin.
Where is heroin in the current 2023 zeitgeist? I feel like we're not here. She's not as hot as she used to be.
Here's the thing. Heroin really got a lot of eyes on it, I think, with like heroin chic. And personally, my problematic truth is I love glamorizing things that should not be glamorized. I really buy into it. Hook, line, and sinker in the 90s imprinted on me in such a way. But heroin's been around for a long time. It's just people used it in very different forms. And I think the sad thing about heroin is that when you are actively addicted to heroin, you don't really want to talk about it and like let people know about that in the same way that you would feel comfortable telling people like you're on Molly or you just took an edible.
It's a more in the shadows type of substance.
Yeah. I felt really cool when I Googled what are the coolest drugs in 2023. What are the most popular drugs in 2023? I asked both ChatGPT and the internet. And found an article that said street drugs to watch in 2021, which I love the idea of.
Who are the up and comers?
So heroin was weirdly not on the list of drugs to watch in 2021. I do think it's gone kind of back behind the scenes. But I think the good news for heroin is that people are going to be always doing it.
Yeah.
Because it is very addictive. So heroin obviously is like an opioid. made from poppies. I love that about heroin because I do love a poppy.
That was always kind of like the undertone from the poppy scene in Wizard of Oz, right? That yeah, it was supposed to be like
the druggiest movie of all time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's an opioid made from morphine, which is the natural substance taken from the seed pod of various opium poppy plants grown in Southeast and Southwest Asia, Mexico, and Colombia. It can be a white or brown powder or a black sticky substance known as black tar heroin. You can inject, sniff, snort, or smoke it. Some people mix it with crack. That's called speedballing. My dark truth is I would love to do heroin, but I know myself and like I know the high it provides is the exact high that I'm looking for that would make me get addicted. And then it would be curtains. I don't think I could
bounce back.
I don't think I could bounce back. I think
put
once
Nicole Richie it.
I think once I had a taste of the juice, I'd be chasing the dragon for all time. Because I have done like I had a surgery in 2019 and they gave me fentanyl afterwards. And they were like, do you want fentanyl? And I was like, when else? In my head, I was like, when am I going to get the opportunity to do fentanyl in like a controlled environment where I know if anything goes wrong, like someone's got my back, aka this male nurse. And so I was like, yeah, load me up. And as soon as it went into my veins, I felt a sense of peace and calm wash over me and just the sense that like everything was going to be okay and like no worries at all. Like anything, everything was just like no big deal. It was like no worries. And that's like, I think I'm a very anxious person, even though I don't look like it and I don't really act like it. But my inner thought process is like, my brain's going a million miles an hour and I am stressed.
Fascinating. Yeah, you present as chill.
I present really zen and chill, but my mind is a million miles a minute and I'm constantly like stressed about something. And to have something just eliminate that and quiet down my brain and just be like, it's fine, man, is like, that's how my insides match my projected outsides. Mm-hmm. And that's like a no-fly zone for me because I just think... But, you know, maybe there is like a fun night where I just like do a little heroin. People don't do heroin enough casually.
I know. It's like, how would you even seek something out like that?
There's such a stigma around it because there was one Columbia professor that wrote some radical thing or he was like, I do heroin casually and it's cool. We just need to all accept that every once in a while I'm going to do heroin. And I was like, my king. But I also know it's obviously like incredibly addictive and like destroys your life, has the potential to destroy your life. But that also makes me kind of give it an A+.
She is tried and true, stands the test of time.
So short-term side effects, people report feeling a rush. However, there are other side effects, including dry mouth, warm flushing of skin, heavy feelings in arms and leg, nausea and vomiting, severe itching. I never had the itching with that fentanyl, but yes, on all the others. Clouded mental functioning, going on the nod, a back and forth state of being conscious and semi-conscious. Long-term effects, insomnia, collapsed veins, damaged tissue inside the nose if you sniff or snort, infection of the heart lining and valves, abscesses, constipation, liver and kidney disease, lung complications, mental disorders such as depression and antisocial personality disorder, sexual dysfunction for men, irregular menstrual cycles for women. Very addictive, very alluring. The power to destroy, but also the power to really soothe. I rate it kind of an A+ drug in that way. Maybe part of my rating system is like, does it seem dangerous enough to be fun? Or is there like myth? What's the lore? Is the lore good?
Yeah.
And it has good lore.
It has good lore, but I guess I'm sort of impacted by whatever DARE assembly I went to at a really young age, and heroin was always poised as like the worst of them all. So that to me is that's ingrained in my brain for eternity. So it's just a no fly zone for me.
Yeah. That when people told me that, it just made me want to do it more. So that's why it does get the A plus rating.
It's pretty deathly. Doesn't really seem like you're gonna have like a wild H night. It kind of seems more like a solo experience. I'm gonna give it a C.
Okay, fair. Okay, so next on the list, cocaine. Cocaine, I think everyone probably listening to this podcast has likely done coke.
I would think so.
Yeah, I have done coke, though I haven't in a long, long time. Because I'm actually allergic to...
How did you find out you're allergic to cocaine?
Well, when you do a lot of cocaine in a short period of time, for me, it manifested as like I had a sudden onset of like allergies that was like my nose was so itchy. It felt like the inside of my face was itchy and my sinuses were congested. And then the only thing that would like fix that reaction was a cortisone shot. So then I thought that was like a one-off thing. This was like in high school, probably around the time that I was going to get sent away. And then I got back from boarding school and was like, oh, I'll do like a casual line of coke as one does. And the exact same thing happened again. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, this is not sustainable. So therefore I don't do coke anymore. And I did it one other time when I was in Los Angeles, like snorted a line being like, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's whatever. And then the same thing happened again. And I was like, it's curtains for me and coke.
Honestly, it's probably for the best.
It's a great blessing in disguise. I highly recommend getting an allergic reaction to anything. A drug that you like, because then it will stop you from doing it.
I myself have partaken. Like, my parents are listening. Fuck. And listen, I love an up, up, up. Anything that's going to do that, I'm willing to try. I'm hedonistic in that way. I hate how I feel the next day, always. Like, there's been very few times that I've done cocaine and woke up the next day and been like, I feel great about my choices. Like, I always hate myself afterwards.
And what is that? Is it like a hangover? Is it just like post cocaine shame? People talk about this and I don't relate, because in my peak cokehead era, I was feeling so much shame about so many things that I couldn't differentiate.
Right.
Like,
what,
I was like,
where,
so
what the source shame was?
Yeah. I was like always functioning with a low level of shame. So I was therefore constantly just like high all the time. Yeah. So I wouldn't be able to tell you what it was.
Also, from. I think more so in like recent years, I don't partake in any drugs unless they're being tested right in front of me. And like, luckily the few times that I have had a night like that, I have really responsible friends who are just responsible about those things. But like lately, I'm kind of more in like a kin euphorics phase in my life above all else. So just haven't really felt the call. But I think cocaine is great when it's pure. But like, how often are you getting pure cocaine in Los Angeles or anywhere in America right now?
Where do you get pure?
Asking for a friend.
I don't, like, that's the thing. And I don't know. I haven't done enough like research or sniffing to know whether it's the cocaine I'm allergic to or just whatever's being put in the cocaine.
Yeah.
But all I know is that these
baby laxatives,
they are not having it.
Right. It's just spooky. It spooks me out. And so I think those days are behind me. But it has had its time in the sun.
Yeah. Cocaine increases levels of the natural chemical messenger dopamine in brain circuits related to the control of movement and reward. Normally, dopamine recycles back into the cell that released it, shutting off the signal between nerve cells. However, cocaine prevents dopamine from being recycled, causing large amounts to build up in the space between two nerve cells, stopping their normal communication. The flood of dopamine in the brain's reward circuit strongly reinforces drug-taking behaviors. With continued drug use, the reward circuit may adapt, becoming less sensitive. As a result, people take stronger and more frequent doses in an attempt to feel the same high and to obtain relief from withdrawal. Extreme happiness and energy, mental alertness, hypersensitivity to sight, sound, and touch, irritability, paranoia.
Teeth grinding.
Long-term effects. Jaw tension. Snorting, loss of smell, nosebleeds, frequent runny nose, and problems with swallowing, smoking, cough, asthma, respiratory distress, higher risk of infections like pneumonia, consuming by mouth, severe bowel decay from reduced blood flow, needle injection, higher risk for contracting HIV, hep C, and other bloodborne diseases, skin or tissue infections, scarring or collapsed veins. I think cocaine also seems like something, if done in moderation, is not that damaging.
I've always been part of that school of thought.
And also, it seems like less addictive than heroin, but also it's an expensive habit.
Also, being around people who are on cocaine when you're not on cocaine is like...
the vibe shift.
It's a vibe shift and it's a thing.
As a non-cocaine user who every once in a while I do get like cocaine FOMO and I'll be like, I need that. Like, give me a little on the gums. But it doesn't do much for me. And then once I started to clock the times of the night that everyone had gone into like
coke mode. It's bad.
The energy gets weird. And then that's when I'm like, I got to get home to Tony.
Yeah. No, it's a thing. And... like, there's been times where I've done, like, the mushroom route. We'll get there. And then, like, I look around and everybody's gone. It's very much like Elliot. Who is Paris Hilton's PR person?
Elliot. Not Elliot Mintz.
Yeah, Elliot Mintz and Rinna left at the table. Like, that's been me. I've been the people who've gotten up, and I've also been the people who are, like, left sitting around being like, where did everyone go?
I know. I don't like the culture around cocaine.
It's just so sketchy because no one can do it out in the open, and I just wish people would just, like, cut a line, do it on the table, and don't be a weirdo.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in certain circles of gay friends, people are very comfortable doing it out in the open, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
I don't like the like exclusivity factor of like, we're all going
to the bathroom. Well, because no one has enough and they can't share, and that's why they're going in the other room.
Cocaine equals scarcity complex. And like, also, if you've ever become a cokehead or you've known someone that's become a cokehead, they're not fun to
be
around.
It's a rough scene.
I'm giving cocaine a D minus.
Same.
It doesn't bring much. A D minus for doesn't bring much to the table.
I'm with you 100.
Okay. Let's move on to alcohol. Kept popping up when I was Googling drugs. And it's one of the most used legal drugs that's out there.
It's also the statistics on how it ages your system.
Terrifying.
It is so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many ways, in how it impairs our judgment and the ramifications of that, along with just, it makes me feel like shit.
Yeah.
If I'm being really honest. And I love a martini and a dinner and like all of that, but I've really shifted my behavior around alcohol. I started drinking really young. I had my first drink in middle school, and that's when like that culture sort of started for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever really liked it. It was just sort of like what was going on around me, so I just was keeping up.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot of literature around alcohol because I was like inspired to have a year of like an alcohol-free year in 2021, and then I like reintroduced alcohol to my life in 2022, and then now I'm back in like a no alcohol zone. So I keep, whenever I like make that decision, I try and read a lot about it to make me feel better about the potential like alcohol FOMO I might feel. But the more I read about it, the more I'm like, this is like an awful drug that really we don't need to be partaking in, or need to be like very minimally partaking in.
Yeah,
because it literally is ethanol, which is a poison that gets watered down or flavored so that it becomes drinkable. But alcohol is just like so addictive that it literally sends your body into wanting more as soon as you have that kind of like initial rush from like 1.5, 2 cocktails. 20 minutes after that, it goes away and you're dehydrated. You are craving more to kind of fill the void that that bit of alcohol left in your system. And then it just does like a number on all your organs and your brain chemistry and your sensory function, your judgment, and like it just wreaks havoc and creates like more and more. You just need more and more of it over time because your tolerance builds up. So like it was interesting because I was tracking that. I was kind of like tracking over 2022 with cigarettes and alcohol, being like, can I moderate this? Like, what does that look like for me to just be like fun and flirty with both, but not like having the same relationship I've had with them in the past? And with both things, I noticed that by the end of the year, I needed more to get the feeling that I wanted, or I was just straight up craving like a drink every time I went out, or like needing to like craving the feeling of like needing like 3 drinks, or wanting to maybe have some wine at home. Or with cigarettes, it's the same thing. And it just, I think, is really dangerous in that way, because all of a sudden you can be drinking like 4 drinks in one night and that's like normal for you.
Do you feel like drinking and cigarettes go hand in hand, or when you're not drinking, do you still love a cig?
When I'm drinking, I want cigarettes more. But when I'm not and I'm out at like a party or something where people are drinking, I want a cigarette as like a social anxiety soother and also a socializing tool. But I'm also just
the
like
cig circles are where the best combos are.
I know. And like, I've always thought cool people smoke cigs. That's been my biggest problem with drugs and any substances, is that I, from a very, very young age, believed in my heart of hearts, and I'm still trying to like dismantle this, but I was like, really cool people do drugs and smoke cigarettes and drink.
That's definitely part of the lore.
Yeah. So, but alcohol, it gets an F from me.
There's been 2 weeks out of all of 2023 that I drank. And as soon as I started back up, I was like, I have to get off this train again.
An F for free us of the social constructs that we're beholden to in culture, thinking that like alcohol is totally normalized and cool and fine. It's very destructive.
It's really the marketing.
It's marketing.
The marketing scheme of all schemes is alcohol.
Mm-hmm. What I was meaning to get at earlier was when you were saying you didn't like the way it tasted and blah, blah, blah. Something I had read about was like, no one likes the way alcohol tastes at first. It's like disgusting for a reason. And like the way you feel when you first take a sip, where you're like, oh my God, is basically your body's response to tell you you shouldn't drink this.
That's right.
Your palate like grows, you grow into your taste of it. That's one of the only things you have to develop a palate for. Like everything else you either like or you don't like. Like if you hate like I hate black licorice, I'm never gonna like keep trying black licorice because I want to like grow my palate for it.
I love black licorice. That's a real society divide.
Really go.
But I think that was interesting too when we did our no non-alcoholic beverage haul. The ones I didn't like were the ones that were trying to mimic the taste of alcohol. And I think there's a whole category for that. But like personally, that just wasn't hitting my palate well at all. And that's why was sort of why we gave so many a lower grade.
Yeah, because like if I'm going to drink alcohol, I want to have that disgusting taste. But also
drunk.
Know that I'm going to be getting something out of it by feeling like fucked up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an F, and
it's
I feel
an
like
F.
You can...
The longer that I abstain, or the longer that I work at shifting my relationship to alcohol and picking and choosing how I partake versus just like automatically, if I'm out, I'm going to drink, the more I'm not into it.
Yeah, I don't want, there's so much mental math around, if I drink tonight, like, do I need to take an Uber? And then, like, I have something to do tomorrow that I want to feel good about. So, like, how do I moderate? It's just like, it's a lot easier when you take it off the table.
I find, too, also in recording a show and having the things you say recorded, I always want to show up to the mic, my clearest head and, like, my best space. It doesn't always happen, but I think drinking for me is, like, a really easy thing to take out that I know will detract from me showing up to anything as my best self.
True.
F.
Let's haul nicotine.
Okay.
I love nicotine.
I am not a smoker. Mm-hmm. I tried to be. I studied in Italy and I was like, I'm going to pick up smoking.
Love.
This looks cool here. And
it's very
cool. Like, it wouldn't, and never, I never grasped onto it, which was probably for the best.
That's great. Did either of your parents smoke?
I think my mom was a smoker, like, back in the day, but not while I was up and running.
Yeah, like, my dad has been a smoker since, I think he was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up with him smoking, which you're however many times more likely to become a smoker if, like, one of your parents smokes when you're young.
My dad was a pipe man.
Yeah, that's, like, a whole different, it's a still different is a thing, but it also is, like, Paddington Bear vibes.
Fully.
Yeah, and it smells good.
It's elite.
Yeah, it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so smoking was just very much, like, around me all the time, and then it became cool coded as, like, something cool people do.
Yeah.
And then
Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah.
She really did a number.
Made it really difficult to not smoke.
I feel like every girl of a certain ilk tried smoking because SJ made it look like it was everything.
And it is romantic. And that's another like marketing thing. Because it actually is fairly disgusting when you think about it. And, like, I definitely associate, like, shame feelings of smoking. Like, if I'm out and it's a social thing and someone is doing it and then we're just, like, having a cig and chatting, that's one thing. But, like, a smoke during the day, like, on the streets of Los Angeles or something, I feel like I need a scarlet letter on me or something.
When I was studying abroad, it was when London turned over being able to smoke in the pubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, this really glorious chunk of time where I spent a summer studying in the UK. Then I went over for the fall semester to Italy. And I came, well, during my time in Italy, I came back to the UK. And it went from, obviously, the pubs being parties of cigarette smoke to all of a sudden that not being a thing anymore. And it just blew my mind. And now it's like, of course you don't smoke inside. But I just remember that time of that crossover and sort of that culture shift that happened when smoking went from being such a thing that you wouldn't even clock being around you to then being so passe. And it's just kind of interesting that we experienced that.
Yeah, like, I was remembering smoking in restaurants or, like, the smoking section, which we always sat in because my dad was a smoker. And it's like, you would get, like, CPS called on you if you, like, smoked in the smoking section with your four kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love a good smoking section, or I love when you can smoke indoors. But, like, to think that you would smoke, like, you would sit in a section of people just, like, chaining cigs and eating food at the same time is, like, so gross
to
me.
It sounds so crazy now, but it was
that normal.
Long ago that was totally normal.
The fact that people, like, could smoke in airplanes just, like, freely is also crazy.
Have you ever done the nicotine spray?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so Dave Asprey, the famed
male
biohacker, gave me nicotine spray.
And
it's like an upper.
Yeah. Nicotine is a stimulant.
Yeah.
It speeds up messages traveling between the brain and the body, and it's the main psychoactive ingredient in tobacco products, which I'm like, you've just hit the nail on like a lot of heads that I love.
I'm curious into getting back into spray curiosity. I would do that.
Yeah, because when it's smoked or when tobacco is burned, that's what creates tar and carbon monoxide. Nicotine, I have to give it a B because it be cool to me still, despite.
Honestly, she's been around since the beginning of time. She's still here.
Mm-hmm. She's iconic. She's ageless.
Ageless. And I have to celebrate that.
And smoking looks cool, even though it is not cool and it is gross. It still looks very cool.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a B minus just because of like, have to take into consideration the lung cancer component.
Oh, and all the health complications.
Right. It's a minus.
I'm in a place of no more smoking and no more drinking. Like,
wow.
Trying to think very long term about longevity and about my face. And so I'm trying to prioritize that over just like having a delicious cigarette or a glass of wine and keep that at front of mind.
Longevity.
Okay, let's get into some street drugs that are a little bit
newer,
off the beaten path.
Newer, different.
Yeah. Things that maybe you or I have not tried, but they're emerging drugs to know.
Ones to watch.
One is called Phenibut. Originally developed by the Soviet Union for cosmonauts headed to space. Phenibut is an addictive anti-anxiety drug and nootropic still prescribed in some Eastern European countries. As an unscheduled substance in the United States, Phenibut is technically legal, but doctors may not prescribe it. Moreover, manufacturers may not sell it as having any health benefits. It made headlines recently after a report showing calls to poison control centers involving the drug have skyrocketed since 2018. It's typically sold as a dietary supplement, even though this claim is illegal. It looks like just a white capsule.
Is it fen as in like fen-fen?
I don't know because it's supposed to be anti-anxiety. Oh. Is fen-fen, that was kind of a stimulant, right? It's a central nervous system depressant developed in the 1960s by the Soviet Union to treat anxiety. Russia's really at the forefront of some wild drugs on the scene. It's a GABA. It serves as the primary inhibitory neurotransmitter. It blocks or inhibits certain brain signals and decreases activity in your nervous system.
Is it used for fun?
Calming or euphoric effect. Can help with feelings of anxiety, stress, and fear. It may also help to prevent seizures. It's cheap, easily available, and large enough doses can lead to a calming or high feeling. It's not part of standard drug tests. Seems difficult. I'm giving it a D for difficult, and yeah. I don't understand.
A D for don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to GHB.
Okay.
G, also called liquid ecstasy or the new ice.
So I used to spend a lot of time with like tech bros. Mm-hmm. I was like really in that world, like startup tech bro entrepreneur-y types, and G was hot on the scene then.
G is, I think, constantly hot on the scene.
The big thing with G, and I never tried it, but you can't drink alcohol with it, obviously.
Yeah.
So it was a big, like, it was almost like tech bro sober up, like anti-alcohol sobriety uprising, but like here's this new designer drug that will make you feel better than alcohol. It was really kind of that Venn diagram of it all, where they had money, they were getting the good stuff. So I was clocking it. I was like, I see what, okay. Trend watch.
Having partied with a lot of gays in my lifetime, I know that GHB is very popular for an alcohol, like instead of drinking, you do like just a little bit of G and you get ideally like the same-ish feeling with no calories, which is appealing to me. I just knew it as being, I like had always heard horror stories about people like accidentally overdosing on G or just like drinking, like someone chugged a water bottle, but it was really all GHB, like that kind of thing. And so it really scared me. And yeah. then I've also seen people get G face on the dance floor. And that is really,
what does that look like?
It's like when people start gurning really hard and they're like this.
Oh, no.
And it's really scary. Tweaky. It's really tweaky and super creepy. And so then I was like, I'm never going to do G.
I have been GHB'd before in a drink. And that was scary.
That is scary.
Do not recommend. Luckily, I woke up in my bed and it was all good. But it was a frightening experience.
But recently, I was with a friend and we were chatting over dinner. And then talking about partying or something, and he was like, honestly, you would love GHB, it's amazing, and like you have to try it next time. And I was like, okay, I definitely will. So I do look
it's
forward
on the docket.
It's on the docket. It could be a good alternate. It seems like something that could be used in moderation as like an alcohol supplement every once in a mm-hmm. while.
I'd be open to it.
Yeah, that I'm not gonna feel like, oh, I need to be like kind of like a psychoactive or like a hallucinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
He made it sound like it's more of that ilk than being like drunk or something.
I'm going to give this one a B because I'd be intrigued.
Same. Flocka, aka gravel zombie drug bath salt. Flocka is a stimulant that mimics the effects of the cot plant, which I think I might have done cot at some point, but in like a wellness way.
Yeah.
I might be getting mixed up with some other kind of like indigenous mm-hmm. plant or tincture. Apologies for the mix up, but I feel like it was somehow similar, but it was not bath salt.
Okay.
It produces an amphetamine-like experience similar to ecstasy, but the side effects can be far more dangerous. Users on Flocka have displayed violent aggression, self-harm, and outright bizarre behavior. We all remember the zombie face eater of Miami.
Right. Classic tale.
Wow. Flocka apparently has made a huge comeback in recent years. As many as 1% of teens have tried the drug. Many teens have unwittingly ingested Flocka while intending to take MDMA or cocaine. That's why I really don't fuck with any MDMA of it anymore, or any Molly, because I feel like it's all just like
trash.
Flocka.
Yeah.
Yum. It can be pink or white crystals similar to bath salts. It's also synthetic, comes in like, oh, it comes in pouches labeled as plant food or phone screen cleaner. Anytime something's labeled as a cleaner, you've got to watch out.
I think I'm past the phase in life where I'm open to something being disguised as screen cleaner and still being willing to try it.
Yeah, bath salts don't seem fun to me.
D.
It's a F for me. No. A no on Flocka. Kratom. Have you heard of this? Herbal speedball. Biak biak, etang, or thorn.
I think I have heard of it.
Kratom or kratom, I don't know how you say it exactly, but it's definitely in the culture. I feel like it's kind of in the wellness space too.
That's what I'm thinking of. Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it's a psychoactive herb from Southeast Asia. It's made its way into gas stations, bodegas, and convenience stores in the United States. It's unregulated. And there's also like kratom or kratom bars that are popping
up
where you can like drink like kratom teas or like tinctures and stuff. It's starting to appear at like farmers markets, specialty health stores, promoting the narrative that the drug has medicinal value. Kratom bars were popping up. At low doses, it acts as a stimulant, causing users to become more alert and energetic. They can also become more social and talkative. At increasingly higher doses, the drug alleviates pain and creates feelings of euphoria. Eventually, the drug becomes a depressant, leaving users listless and sedated. Physical side effects may include nausea, chills, vomiting, itching, sweating, loss of appetite. The effects on the mind and nervous system are even more dramatic. These include hallucinations, delusions, difficulty breathing, seizures, and even coma or death. The mental and physical effects start within 10 minutes and typically last between 2 and 5 hours. Long-term effects include darkening of the skin, extreme weight loss, dry mouth, constipation, and the need to frequently urinate.
I hate when drugs make you feel like you have to pee all the time.
Yeah.
That's a no for me.
And it can cause muscle pain and liver damage. Some people say that using it can help you overcome like opioid addiction.
Got it.
But I don't know. I'm giving it like a C minus for complicated.
It sounds complicated. I would like more information. It's a not no for me, but like in a casual like wellness dose. I'm open.
I don't trust anything that's sold simultaneously at a gas station and the farmer's market. Those seem like very different like markets to me.
Similar crossover to beef jerky.
But I do really fuck with beef
exactly,
jerky.
Exactly, same.
Yeah, I don't know. If I was with like a Kratom user that was like...
Knew the
ins and outs and could really get me like the good dose, I would maybe think of it, but I don't like the name at all. I want to think of a whole new name.
It needs a rebrand.
It needs a total rebrand. Maybe we do a too niche.
Too niche drop.
We come up with our own drug. It's just Kratom.
I'm into that.
I don't like the name. I wouldn't feel... chic saying like I'm on Kratom. I wouldn't want people being like, have you seen Lara is using like a lot of Kratom lately? I don't like
that association is not
I kind
what
of
you want.
Would prefer, as sad as it is, people to be like, she's on a lot of heroin. That is like, ooh,
tried and true,
sexy. Yeah, C minus.
I agree, but I don't know. I would like more information.
Mm-hmm. You're Kratom curious.
Curious indeed.
Fentanyl.
Oof.
Also called Apache, China Girl, Dance Fever, Poison, Blue Dolphin, Fire Bira. That's fentanyl mixed with heroin.
It's just poison.
You got new poison. They're like, oh, you mean fentanyl? Alcohol is pissed at, or alcohol is actually glad that fentanyl is taking on the nickname poison.
Yeah.
But I'm not done. It's also called Facebook, which is fentanyl and heroin in a pill form.
Okay.
Speedball, fentanyl mixed with cocaine. Goofball, fentanyl mixed with meth. But I don't think that it's the lolfest that it's made out to be. I think the name Goofball is a misnomer, I would venture to say. So now dealers are cutting fentanyl into an increasing number of street drugs. It routinely appears in cocaine, meth, MDMA, and benzos like Xanax and etazolam.
And then you die. Not worth it.
This is a fatal dose of fentanyl. Like one teeny little...
The visual is next to a penny and it's like a tiny speck next to a penny. Yeah, I am truly scared.
Yeah, I would say... My big takeaway from my one instance of fentanyl use in the hospital was like, that was fun. Don't need to go down that road again. Certainly wouldn't feel comfortable going down that road unexpectedly or like willingly.
It's very scary.
Yeah, I'm F for not a fan. There's an even new... An
hotter.
Even newer, hotter, younger fentanyl on the scene called carfentanil, which is also called wildnil and serial killer.
Jesus Christ.
Honestly, if you're going up to someone and being like, can I have, do you have poison? Any serial killer for me? That should be a red flag that it's not the drug for you. No. It's an analog of fentanyl. It's making the opioid crisis even more deadly. It's used primarily to sedate large animals like elephants and horses. dealers use it for the same reason they use fentanyl. It's less expensive and more potent than heroin, allowing illicit manufacturers to produce and sell greater amounts at lower costs. And it's cut with all these other substances. It's a no. That's a no for me.
It's a no.
It's a real no.
F. For
get that fentanyl out of my drugs.
Exactly.
Wait, gabapentin is on the drugs to watch. Multi-purpose drug used primarily to treat seizures and nerve pain. It's become a concern on the street. Recreational users take the drug to intensify an opioid high or as an opioid substance. I didn't know this. I have some gabapentin that was prescribed to me.
Really?
Yeah, just for like, I think it was prescribed to me because I get pretty bad PMS.
Okay.
And then it's like, just kind of to like calm me down, though I never took it because I was kind of like, this seems complicated and I don't understand it. So I was just like, I'll just keep it in my stash and see if I ever want to return back. And I never did, but now.
Well.
It's now the fourth most prescribed drug in the United States. Doctors use it to treat everything from restless leg syndrome to generalized anxiety disorder.
Isn't there a supplement called GABA?
I think so, but I think that's different.
Different.
I'm going to rate that an I for I'm intrigued.
I'm still a little unsure. There's intrigue there. It feels down on the list for me.
To delve into like some other drug at this stage in the game feels like a heavy lift.
It really does.
Let's talk about 2CB.
Speaking of trying things later in life, a late in life try. I'm a fan.
It's newer on the scene.
I like it.
I really learned about it from going to some like desert rave in 2016, I want to say, and then heard like murmurs of like people being on 2CB.
I also thought it was CB2 the whole time I was doing it. So I was asking for CB2, which is fun.
And I do love CB2.
Same. So before we get into it, I'll share my experience of what it felt like because it was kind of revelatory. I'd never felt like this good on drugs, which I guess is the point, is you want to feel good. But it was like the visuals of tripping on mushrooms, but with a euphoria of being on MDMA, but also having your wits about you. I just remember being so giggly but having conversations and like living life and being normal. Probably not, but I didn't feel out of control, which I like to be in control. Like I never really let myself get like taken away by a substance. I always try to like keep 2 feet on the ground. And I was able to sort of have this like beautiful, euphoric, fun, giggly experience while also feeling like grounded and like in control of my actions.
I love that. What about the inner monologue that can sometimes happen on like a mushroom? Or
I think the vibes were high, just like in terms of the situation that I was in when that was happening. But like the visuals were crazy and like beautiful and just it was an amazing experience. I don't know if I'm like going back for more. I might just keep that, you know, as it was.
Like if 2CB finds you, it's kind of meant to be, but
exactly.
You're not going to go searching for it.
Right. But I loved it. And it was also fun to try a drug, like a late in life drug.
You feel cool.
I felt cool.
You feel younger.
It felt fun. It felt new and exciting.
I trust you. So when you said that you had done 2CB, I was like, I want to do 2CB. And then there's that Kanye lyric where he rapped about it in a song.
He did?
That's also where I heard it. Yeah, it was like, dun 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 2CB, huh? Like, and I was like,
2CB.
Kanye is doing it. I kind of wanted to do it.
It's been around since the 70s, I believe. You got some facts on there?
I have some facts.
Yeah.
It was first synthesized in 1974 by an American chemist and pharmacologist who is known for his research on psychedelic substances. It's known for its combination of psychedelic and empathogenic effects, which can lead to altered perceptions of reality, visuals, and a heightened sense of empathy and emotional connectivity with others. The effects can vary depending on the dosage, lower dosages producing more stimulating and euphoric effects, while higher doses lead to intense visual hallucinations and a more immersive psychedelic experience.
I was definitely in the latter camp.
Mm-hmm. It's worth noting that the use of 2CB, like other psychedelics, can lead to challenging experiences or bad trips, which may result in anxiety, paranoia, or even psychosis in some cases. It is illegal.
Oops.
But yeah.
And I will, one other like pro CB2 note is that the next day I felt fine and functioning and didn't feel like,
wow,
crusty and bad about myself. So A+.
I like a designer drug that's meant to be like, you take this, you have an experience, there's no lingering hangover, no post-drug shame, and you like move on with your life.
You had that, you feel good, it flossed the brain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, A+.
Okay, I'm gonna give it an A+ too. We should haul ketamine because that's okay. Like definitely in the
really
mix.
The hot girl right now.
I know. She has come has on the been. Scene. I feel like my journey into experimenting with ketamine was very much like seeing people do it and being like, I'll never do that. And then all it takes is like the right time and the right place. I think I was also turned off by, I was scared to snort anything because of my aforementioned cocaine allergies. And then when I just decided, like, I can't remember where it was, where I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna like do a little bit and like whatever happens happens, like I know the drill and can get a cortisone shot if need be, because sometimes I like to roll the dice in a dangerous way. And then I was like, oh, this didn't do that, and it's, but it also didn't do a whole bunch for me, made me kind of tired. And then I went back, I think, for more during when I was at raves, and it became like a really fun drug to do at like a rave or a concert. But I will say sometimes I like to take it to a place of feeling like totally like tripping out and like having like a like bending my mind, which scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you can really like, you can really like warp your perception in such a way, which I think is very cool. But I'm also like, I don't want to be like that 24/7.
I've had like a few encounters with ketamine. One, my first one was in high school. I held someone's hand while they were in a full K-hole and needed help. So that was my first one. It put me off of it for quite a while. Then probably in my late 20s, I had like one New Year's where that was my drug of choice, and it ended up taking me into 1 p.m. the next day.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, that was that.
Wow.
And then I tried the nasal spray.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have some friends who have done ketamine therapy and continue to do ketamine therapy and have had some amazing results with it. More with like a medicinal framework. I would dabble again if it was in the right time and right place, but I definitely know she's the hot girl on the scene. She's the it girl.
She is. And I love a dabble every once in a while, but I also, I've touched the edge and I've peered over the edge. So I approach with caution, but I do dabble, and it really has to be like right time, right place.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is kind of so fun and crazy that I don't ever try and have it just around, because there might be just like a little bit of a bored night where I want to like get in a K-hole and watch a movie, and that is, doesn't jive with me at this stage in life.
Yeah, that's not speaking to the goals of now.
No, but mid-COVID, there was a definite era.
I feel like everybody had a ketamine era during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
In a real way.
I like bought some with the intention of being like, COVID's over, we're like going out now. And then COVID wasn't over and we all continued to stay in. And then I just had a gram of ketamine that I needed to use. So I give it an A though.
I'm kind of wanting to try it. You just really sold me.
I think it's like just you, it's approach with caution.
Yeah.
Because I've also known people that have gotten addicted to it. And like,
it's spooky.
That's a tough deal.
I'll give it a B plus.
I guess next would be psilocybin mushrooms, magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
Psilocybin, aka magic mushrooms, are naturally occurring and consumed for hallucinogenic benefits. They are psychedelic, so they affect your senses, your vision, your like body feelings. And there are many kind. The most common ones in Australia are called Golden Tops, Blue Meanies, and Liberty Caps. They come in dried material in capsules or just like dried up mushrooms. I'm a big fan of mushrooms. I feel like our listeners know mushrooms, have dabbled in mushrooms.
I'm excited about the legalization of psilocybin. I think that obviously used as a therapy, it can be really healing and beneficial. And I know that there was a lot of this research done many, many decades ago that basically got squashed by Big Pharma. So microdosing is now being used for healing PTSD. It's a really common solve for ADHD.
Ooh.
People are starting to use it to sort of buckle down and work.
I love that.
I did that one time famously on this show and accidentally
dosed
myself and proceeded to see visuals the entire time that we were talking about the Kardashian Christmas cards. So
that's like a best case scenario for a dose of oneself.
I think so. But personally, if I'm going to be seeing visuals, I'd prefer not to be
working,
being recorded.
Yeah. I love mushrooms. I have also microdosed at times. I've also made the mistake of accidentally dosing myself, but then just turned it into like a little therapy visualization session. The perks of working from home mean that you can do that sometimes. And I like a mushroom.
Yeah.
When the time is right, like I always check in to make sure I'm in like the right headspace to engage, because I've just found like if I'm in like a feeling insecure or feeling like freaked out, it's just going to magnify whatever it is I'm
definitely
going through.
Or sad, it tends to like really, if there's anything brimming to the surface, it really...
It'll bring it up.
Brings it up, yeah.
Yeah, the last time I did mushrooms, I think was last summer, and I had like a difficult time kind of coming up because I had left Tony at a friend's house who insisted on leaving like a dog door open to his backyard. But I was like, this person lives in like Echo Park in the hills. Like, I don't feel comfortable with Tony having access to like an indoor outdoor, just knowing about coyotes. Like, and he's a curious pug. So I'm like, I don't feel safe with that. So like at the last second, I just like blocked the door with my like bag, but I kept freaking out internally thinking like Tony's going to move it. He's going to get out. A coyote's going to kill him. He's probably dead right now. And like, you know, when you get that intrusive thought that's just on loop on mushrooms, I had to like do mental gymnastics to like release that and like get over it.
Yeah.
It did take a long time, but then and I got
you,
to a good place.
Were you microdosing or
no,
macro?
I was on a macro.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't macroed in a while. The last time I attempted to macro, it like never kicked in, which is always really disappointing. But one time I was microdosing and working and found like a major, major financial discrepancy that was somebody else's fault. And the mushrooms brought me to a place of going on a walk and then crying hysterically. And then I ended up sitting on the sidewalk on the phone with my dad crying. So you just really never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you got to approach with caution.
Create a space that's going to support whatever it is you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and go with God.
Yeah, for me, usually that space is like a Grateful Dead show or a Dead and Company
show.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. I sometimes have trouble being in public when I'm tripping on mushrooms because I feel like I can see everybody's light and everybody's dark. And
oh, definitely.
It's a tough spot to be in if you're like in a bar at a birthday party or something, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you're a devil. Noted. It's like that.
Yeah. And I will get like uncomfortable around certain people and then need to just be away from them and like at a place of like, I have to disengage from
this
person.
But I think that's the magic of sort of bringing the truth to the surface, which is why I give psilocybin an A+.
A+.
Yeah. And looking forward to where it's going to bring us all.
Mm-hmm. Agree. THC, weed.
Happy to go there.
We like THC on this pod.
I'm very pro THC type of human myself. A+. Not much to say.
Yeah, A+. I love an edible journey. Our mutual friend Nitty has this amazing company, Loon, and I'm a Loon head.
Major.
I'm a loony too. I'm a Looner, and I will partake in like a Loon edible maybe 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. And I had said to her, I was like, I think I have a sugar addiction because I love your edibles so much. And she basically was like, Elizabeth, we did R&D for 3 years so that it would literally have as much sugar and the same value nutritionally as like a vitamin gummy. So you're all set. So it made me feel a lot better about my adoration for her product.
Yeah, I will say sometimes on weed, I get paranoid and that little intrusive voice will come into the mix. But that I think has just more to do with however I'm feeling in the moment than like weed specifically. I'm also not like a person that's going to go taking an edible and like going to a place where I don't know anyone mm-hmm. is not the move, or like going into a social situation where I kind of need to be on is like also not the move.
Yeah, I don't really like being high around. It's sort of like my personal just sort of ritual that is best experienced lounging with my iPad and some great reality TV on in the background.
Yeah.
And that is my happiest zone.
Lounging, lying flat with multiple screens activated, Tony by my side, and then a few meals that are already like ready to be consumed at my discretion. A+.
A+.
I was on an edible yesterday and I had gotten like an Erewhon haul for the day's food. And discovered the best wrap of my life. And I was like, is this the edible or is this a good wrap? It's a collard green turkey and bacon.
Oh, yeah. The club.
Yeah. But wrapped in the green.
Yeah. So good.
I was life-changing. On a different planet.
So good.
It's so good. A protein infusion with a little fiber to boot. Okay. Molly, MDMA. Etc. I guess they're two different things, and then ecstasy is like kind of its own thing, but I'm grouping them all as the same vibe. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think that MDMA has sort of had its rebranding throughout time, because I remember, if anybody else was a 90210 fan, there was that episode where Jason Priestley's character and the girl with the blonde hair, and I can't think of her name right now, and I'm going to be so
Jenny
mad.
Jenny Garth?
No, she was...
Tori Spelling?
No, she wasn't a series regular. She was a guest star for a season, and they did, I think it was called Euphoria.
Or like Dawson's Creek, the episode where they went to a rave or they went somewhere, and the blonde girl, was it Jen? I don't think it was Jen, but it was like another blonde girl who was kind of kooky, took ecstasy, and that was a real drug education moment.
I mean, it was very apropos for the early aughts when rave culture was really coming into play. Oh, okay. So the character's name was Emily, and they go to an underground nightclub, and she doses him. And
okay, I'm going to tell you the Dawson's Creek episode. It's the episode Great Expectations, and Andy gets early acceptance into Harvard, exciting Jack and their father, but accomplishing what should be the biggest thing in her life doesn't make her happy. She decides to explore different paths in her life by going to a rave with Jen and Jack. Andy steals an ecstasy pill from Jen, which reacts badly with her antidepressant. Meanwhile, things get awkward during the party when Gretchen brings along Pacey, Joey, and Dawson, who is growing more attracted to Gretchen. Also, Mitch and Gail decide to keep their baby. That is like the B storyline.
The Mitch and Gail B storyline I always could have done without.
I was always all ecstasy content, like in late 90s, early 2000 was really scary to
me. Cautionary tale.
Yeah. So it made me a little nervous about trying it as a teenager.
Yeah.
It didn't stop me from doing it as a teen, but Molly and ecstasy never really hit for me until I would say like 2015 through like 2016 into early 2017. There was like an 18-month period where I was like, I love Molly and I'm going to do it every weekend.
So my first introduction to Molly, besides the Beverly Hills 90210 episode, but growing up outside of Detroit, which was a huge underground rave scene, it was like the epicenter. So I wasn't really involved with that. But my high school boyfriend and all of his friends were in that mix really hard. So I was around a lot of people who were on it. And then one night I tried it and it was like the best night ever. So much fun. It was tested beforehand. Like it was like the best circumstances for being a 16-year-old, which now looking back on that, I was like, holy shit, that's young to be dabbling in that. But tried it and had a lot of fun, and then didn't pick it back up till after college when I was like big on the festival circuit, and it went really nicely with festivals. And at that time it was then called Molly, obviously.
Yeah.
So high school was called Ecstasy, rebranded to Molly in, what was it, like 2009 2010. And what is it called now? What are the kids calling it?
E, clarity, lover's speed, peace, hug drug, beans, XTC, Eve. When I was also, I think around this time of like Dawson's Creek and like talking about ecstasy, I wrote like a fictional like journal entry about like XTC and like maybe having a girlfriend and like have like taking XTC. And it was supposed to be just like for me. And then my mom read my journal and like found that and kept asking me like what the deal was. And I was just so embarrassed and ashamed. I was like, this is on a variety of levels you were never supposed to see.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I guess Molly and ecstasy are technically interchangeable, though Molly / MDMA is considered like purer.
Yeah.
But something that the antidepressant I'm on now, like doesn't, Molly won't have any effect on me if I take it.
Oh, interesting.
And like really the last time I took it and it had an effect, I was just really trying to be aware of how bad the come down was afterwards. Because for a while I didn't get like a bad like come down or anything. But then as my depression started skyrocketing, the come downs got worse. So then I was like, okay, I can't really do this anymore because I have to like preserve what little serotonin there is. And then now it doesn't really work. But even the last few times that I was taking it, I just feel like you end up accidentally doing meth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like cut with all sorts of shit. Now it can be cut with fentanyl and you can't trust it.
That's why
you
got a test. I just had a flash of 16-year-old Elizabeth coming down from Molly in her bedroom, laying on the carpeted floor, blasting the Ray of Light album.
Amazing. You knew how to party.
I really did.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to give it, a D plus, honestly.
I'm going to give it a C plus because I do think when it's clean, it's wonderful. And I also have a lot of interest and intrigue in the microdosing of MDMA, which I have yet to do. But those types of therapies can be really beneficial. I have a lot of friends who've gone down that route and had amazing results.
Oh, so, I like that.
So I have, it's a hopeful C plus.
Okay, yeah, I'll change mine to a C plus too, because I want to see what happens. And I do like the therapeutic benefits of it. And especially as like a treatment of like PTSD and stuff, I think that that's really cool.
Yeah. Have we done LSD yet?
We haven't done LSD yet. LSD, aka acid, I'm a huge fan. I've really like only lightly dabbled because I think just acid in general freaks me out a little bit. Like just as the term. And I feel like in high school and beyond, I would hear these like anti-drug stories of like so-and-so tripped and they were never the same, like that kind of thing.
Got the exact same stories.
Yeah. And I don't think if you're like taking a hit of acid that that's going to happen to you. But there's just the lore around it was really scary.
And like, doesn't it have something to do with like your spine or something?
Oh, like, yeah, the old wives' tale that it's stored in your spine. So if you like crack your back in a certain way, it'll release and you'll be tripping again. You don't even know where you're going to be because you'll be just like tripping. You could be driving on the highway and then all of a sudden you're
bad
just like,
acid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like acid. I would do again.
I've never hero dosed on LSD, but I have microdosed.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. Nothing really, I never really felt anything immediately that day other than maybe just like a little bit more like zoned in on what I'm doing. I have gotten into that microdose no-go zone where you just take a little too much and you're neither tripping nor functional. And it's just that in between gray area, which I hate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to figure out your dose. But what I love about an LSD microdose is where you might feel kind of like whatever day of, the next day I found I wake up and I feel really good, just like clearer and happier. And we love that.
Yeah, I'm all about like brain expansion or like getting the synapses to fire quicker. And I like the mental journey that I can go on when on a psychedelic, like feels like expansion in some way, shape, or form. So I'm open to it.
I am too. Again, another one that I think the legalization is turning a corner and it's going to be more readily available and more studies are being done to the beneficial effects. So I'm hopeful around, you know, these sorts of therapies. So I'm going to give it a B minus just because I've only like had my limited experience with it.
Yeah, I'll give it a B plus because I'm like intrigued and I feel like I'm bullish on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like a hallucinogen. It just also is like you have to really know yourself.
Yeah.
And if you have any dark corners that are unexplored or like dark triggers, it can really tap into those. And then you have to be willing to like go all the way down that road in order to explore and then like turn it off kind of. And if you're not able to do that, you probably shouldn't do any hallucinogen.
It really requires a really specific headspace.
Yeah. And a willingness to like talk yourself into it and just be like, okay, this is where it's at. Like I've got to just like go there and then figure it out.
I'd be open to a hero dose one day.
Is that just like
the hero dose is like what makes you like fully trip? It's like the antithesis to a micro.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've only fully tripped one time off of one drug, and that was salvia.
Really?
Yeah. Salvia is this, in the sage family. Yeah. Like sage is salvia. Yeah. I don't know what's what as far as like what's the part of it that.
Right. What was that like?
It was crazy. So I had a friend, I was in college, and one of my girlfriends was like, a bunch of us are getting together. We like bought salvia and we're just going to like sit around and smoke it and talk about like our experiences on it. So it was a really good setting in which to be experimenting. And you basically, like, it was like, I think it was bought at a gas station. So again, that's like a knockdown because I don't like a gas station drug purchase. You pack a bowl of it, you inhale, you try and inhale like very deeply and then hold it in for as long as you can and then exhale. And then you pretty much start tripping like immediately. And what happened to me was like, I held it in and then I exhaled. And as I was exhaling, Goofy like popped up in like the corner of my eye and he was like, yeah. And then grabbed the corner of my vision, like it was like a two-dimensional curtain, and pulled the entire room back like it was a curtain. And then I was just in outer space in the cosmos, like floating through space with every cartoon character I've ever known or seen, like floating by me and being like, hey. And then like, damn, we're all floating in space and we see this like kind of shiny object rotating in the distance and we like get closer and closer and it was a diamond and every facet of the diamond was like a scene from my life. And then I just like observed this like diamond of my own life like in space, and the whole thing, it feels like a long thing, but it's really like maybe 20 seconds or something.
I have intrigue.
That was fantastic. But like then I did it another time, like later that night I was like, oh, I want to listen to music and do it. And then I was back in space, but I just felt like I was cartwheeling and I didn't like it, but I couldn't come out of it. Like it was just like, you have to just wait for it to go away. And so that I didn't like. And then I've never done it again because I was like, okay, I get it.
All set. Maybe it's like that type of thing where you get like your one good experience and then you're just like chasing the dragon.
I know. And that was like, I was like, why go back?
The Goofy.
But I had my boyfriend like later. I held on to the salvia and like a year later, the guy I was dating like had him smoke it and he did not like it.
Wasn't when Miley Cyrus got like busted for weed, wasn't it? She
was on salvia and someone filmed her, right? Which is really fucked up because she probably was just like tripping balls.
She also probably was just a teenager trying stuff like we all did. Yeah. But like for her, it's like impactful on.
I know.
Well, I think, I mean, ultimately, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking at the time, if I was Miley, I would just like not be doing those things like out in the open around people who had their phones out.
I know. But then it's just like you want to have fun.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're at a house party with like friends, you don't think like, oh, some random is going to film me doing this and then send this to TMZ.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
But salvia, I would say.
It was in 2010. She was smoking salvia out of a bong.
Mm-hmm. I think my salvia experience was like 2007, maybe late 2006. TBD. Yeah. I'd say you could do it. I'd give it a D for either do it or don't do it.
I think it's more of like a younger kids
it's
game.
It's a young man's game. So
I'm going to give it salvia like also a D.
Yeah.
It's not doing much for my curiosity.
Yeah. You don't really, you can, there's other things you can do that will feed you more and like not put you totally incapacitated for like 30 seconds.
What about ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca, I'm really curious, but I'm also scared because that's the kind of thing like I feel very confident in my mental health right now, but the last thing I need is for something to dismantle that entirely and make me question everything.
I feel like it will probably happen eventually, but now's not the time. I don't have that itch.
Yeah, it's not so appealing. But I had a friend whose friend knew someone, I think in Topanga, classic, that was like, he's like a toad venom shaman type of person. Uh-huh. So then I was
combo.
Like, I would drop some coin on like a toad venom.
Yeah.
I don't really want to throw up or shit myself or be in a room with other people doing that.
No.
And I also don't want to hear people weeping and crying and like screaming around me, like strangers. I don't want to experience that with them.
I have some friends who they like found this woman in Santa Fe, mm-hmm. and you fly into Albuquerque, she picks you up, and then you do like a 2-day medicine journey that she guides, and it's like a one-on-one, like safe space.
I like that.
I like that too.
I had a friend who did that, and it turned out to be she hated it. She was like, this woman made me wear a weird long prairie skirt and we like went through the woods and then we like found some guy that had gotten in an accident. So we had to call the cops and like have them come, and like she didn't even like give me an extra day.
Not a prairie skirt.
No, like a prairie. She was like, you have to wear this like over your jeans, and like made her wear. I was like, that sucks. Some, like, I don't love that.
Old timey LARPing. I don't yeah. like that. So just some facts about ayahuasca. It is a South American psychoactive and ethnogenic brewed drink, traditionally used both socially and as a ceremonial or shamanic spiritual medicine among the indigenous peoples of the Amazon basin, and more recently in North America and Europe.
Love. I mean, I'm open to a one-on-one. I don't even know if I'd want to do it with like a friend, really.
No.
It's like it is
a solo,
just like
a solo experience. I agree with
quest.
That.
Yeah.
And also important to note, it really kicks in when you either shit or puke. So that's honestly been a major barrier to entry for me.
Yeah, like to shit in a bucket like around other people or have them doing it around me, I think would cause a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
A toad venom speaks to me in a huge way, because that's also seemed like it's like a one-on-one therapy session.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like a DMT is what I've heard.
Okay, so ayahuasca, I'm giving it a C for...
We'll see.
Exactly. And then DMT, which I think is a really great place to end the haul, because mm-hmm. it really, so I've heard, you experience a death and rebirth.
But that's like, I thought, what you experience on ayahuasca too.
See, I don't know. I've never done it, but I'm sure.
And I heard that that's like also a toad venom thing. I think in a psychedelic, like you're more likely to have like a death rebirth scenario.
I have never done DMT,
I've never done DMT either,
but I was with a friend of mine who was really, really excited to try it. And she had like the, you know what they'll call like the sitter. It was me and the sitter's boyfriend were sort of like 5 feet back, just letting this take place. And she was truly like, I'm going to see aliens. I can't wait. Like, I'm ready. And then nothing happened. And it was
nothing.
The letdown of the century. Nothing.
Bad
It was
batch?
A bad batch.
Yeah.
And it was through like a vape pen.
Oh, yeah. I don't trust a vape pen for that kind of thing. I think I trust more like you crumble something up and present a bowl that you like would light. And then I think that that's like the DMT route. Again, I don't know because I haven't done it.
Neither have I.
It can be injected, smoked, or snorted. It's a very harsh and potent drug to smoke. It's sometimes mixed with herbs such as ayahuasca to make changa. Each batch of changa is different depending on what herbs are used, so strengths vary.
Oh, and I also have been told that a nickname for DMT is Grandma's Belly Button.
Ew.
Because it
Why?
Tastes so rancid, or like the...
That's so gross.
So gross.
Oh my God. I wish I never knew that.
I'm just here with the hard-hitting facts.
Wow, that takes its rating down a notch for me.
It is banned by the FDA. Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
It's only like a few minutes. I'd give it a C for we'll see. I'm curious, but I'm not like chomping at the bit.
I'm not in a place of wanting to like fully leave the planet at the moment. And that's really what you're going to get.
Yeah. Sometimes I am in that place, but I agree I'm not. That being said, I had to come to terms recently with my own truth and revelation, which is that I would try crack if it were presented to me in like a safe setting.
I think I've accidentally tried it before.
The fact of the matter is you probably have, and you've probably done meth by accident. I happen to have done meth both by accident and by choice. And I guess that could actually be our last one to haul. I rate meth an F. I don't get it. It has never spoken to me. The high is not worth the come down.
Yeah, it's a real spooky scenario. That one needs a rebrand.
Just a retooling. Even like Adderall is good. The same. It's like right. almost exactly the same thing. The crazy thing too is like how many people are just on meth in the day to day.
It's wild to me. The panic that this country is over right now over the Adderall shortage is insane. People are stressed, rightfully so, because
they're on meth. They're addicted to meth. Yeah. Yes. It's amphetamine salts.
Yep.
And also, like, the high that you get might feel really good for a little while, mm-hmm. and then you want to smoke, like, 10,000 cigarettes, and you feel productive. But, like, the come down and then the need to, like, immediately start drinking once it wears off, which has been my experience, is, like, hellish.
Yeah,
and then
it was rough.
Sucks you into, like, a really bad feedback loop of, like, doing meth essentially and then drinking. And I've unfortunately had like a lot of friends get really into Adderall and their personalities become so awful over time. Coke does that.
Yeah.
Adderall does that. Meth most certainly does that. I've never known anyone that's been addicted to one of those things.
And been
it's like
great.
A joy to be around. Right. Where you're like, God, you have this horrible drug problem, but you know what? I don't care because you're so fun.
So I was prescribed Adderall for years and it worked for me until it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like really spooky trying to get off of it. And I also realized I literally didn't cry for 4 years. It blocks the connection to your heart and mind in a way that was really hard for me. And once I was like, okay, I want to get off of it, that's when I realized like this is really hard to deal with. So I give meth and amphetamine salts and anything in that family an F.
Total F.
Yeah.
There are way better alternatives that aren't going to make you totally kooky and crazy. I feel like there's a lot of natural alternatives now.
Yeah.
And like worst case scenario, Vyvanse, which
I haven't tried.
I have tried that. I have a prescription to that and take it like a few times a week, and mm-hmm. it is really helpful, but it doesn't make you feel like high.
I'll say that since getting off Adderall in 2017, I've been on a constant search for natural remedies that can help me stay focused and like keep me a little up. And I really like the Nuco has a product called NutroFocus, which is like a functional mushroom blend that I find really good. And then I really like, I mentioned it on the show before, Four Sigmatic makes a mushroom blend called, I think it's called Focus, and it is great. And I just throw it in my tea, bring it with me in my purse, as you know, like it's just a nice thing. And then they also they make a Think blend for coffee or matcha that comes in little packets that I also really like. So those have been really helpful for me on trying to be committed to a natural route and still feel, I think I just sort of need that ritual of something that's going to like, okay, this is going to help me like dial into focusing and like being present on the task at hand, because I always need help with that. And so it's like very hard for me to get into that zone. And once I'm there, I can't really be moved out of it, or else it's hard for me to get back, refocus.
Yeah, fair enough.
Also, just a human being on the planet, it's hard to.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot.
There's a lot to steal focus. But yeah, don't do meth.
Don't do meth. And
not worth it.
If Adderall's your journey, God bless. I love that for you. Just didn't work for me.
I know, but also it's like sending you love and light, because you've got to get that out of your life too.
I'll tell you, once I did, it changed my entire life. It really did, because there really was something. It is like such this like hustle culture style of thinking that it puts you under. It's like a do, go, don't think, keep going. And then when I got off of it, I was just so much more in tune with my heart and was really able to, I thought I needed it to be productive, but I really started being productive once I stopped.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we got pretty comprehensive.
I feel like we did too. This is quite the haul.
This was the haul.
This was a dark haul, but it also felt...
has light moments.
Yeah.
And I think I'm attracted to plants. I stay being attracted to plants. And intrigued by what they have to offer. And I'm glad to have had enough experiences with drugs to be able to haul properly. And I'm also glad to be out of my drug days.
Me too. I feel the same. I feel grateful for all my experiences, but it's nice to be in a place where I'm not in that experimental zone. Maybe I'll go back. Who knows?
Yeah, you never
know. Both
are
great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well... stay niche.
Stay niche. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.